Joo, mä
Varattua. Joo.
just laitoin tallennuksen päälle, kyllä. Okay, good morning, and we will begin the departure orientation now, and the recording is also on. So welcome and to the departure orientation for students going abroad. My name is Tiina Savela. I work as an international coordinator at the international office. I'm in charge of our bilateral student exchange, so our exchanges which take place outside Europe. And first of all, I have some instructions here, which may already be familiar to you. If I can change the slide. No, I cannot change the slide. The same thing happened yesterday as well. Here we go. So please keep your microphone muted and camera turned off. But since we only have one participant here, you are welcome to just open your mic and ask away. You can also write your questions in the chat and I will answer them during this session or at the end of the session. And as mentioned, this session will be recorded and the recording will be available for 2 weeks from the date of publishing. And I will publish this recording and the slides as well on our website. So the Internationalization and Student Exchange website under recent news and under the departure orientation news. So you can watch this later as well. The program for today is that I will tell you about the practical matters you need to take care of before the exchange, also a few things you need to remember during the exchange and after the exchange. And yesterday we had the same session in Finnish, in a hybrid mode. We also had some sessions from Movi. We had Lotta Kokkonen, who is a lecturer at Movi in intercultural communication. She had a very good session on how to face new cultures and how to get most out of your stay abroad. We had a session from Movi as well on how to practice your language skills before the exchange. We had a session on security during your travel and security abroad, and also about vaccinations and healthcare for outgoing exchange students. And these sessions were all recorded, and I will publish the recording and the slides from these sessions as well on our website by next week. We also had some country-specific orientations yesterday where we invited students who have already been abroad to share their experiences with those who are now going abroad. Those sessions weren't recorded, but if you missed those sessions, those country-specific orientations, you are welcome to contact us at the International Office so we can share some of the contact information of the students who have already been abroad in your host university. So you can contact the students yourself as well and ask questions you may have about your host university. And the students who have already been abroad are actually a great source of information. So I highly recommend that you do contact some of the students who have already been abroad. So next, I will go through the things you need to do before the departure, during the exchange and after the exchange. And we have a checklist for outgoing students on our website, which you can also have a look. And the similar sort of matters are mentioned on our website as well that we will go through today. But let's begin with the before the exchange part. First of all, you need to get to know your host university. And I know since you have applied that you have already gone through the website of the host university, you have studied what sort of courses they have and what sort of services they may have for incoming exchange students. But now it's the time to get to know your host university even better. The website of the host university is, of course, the main source of information, but you can also contact us at the international office or your faculty level international coordinator. So we usually receive some sort of fact sheets or other information packages from the host universities. So we can share that information with you as well. We have travel reports and travel blogs on our website. All students who have been abroad on student exchange, they need to write a travel report after their exchange. So these travel reports are usually wonderful in giving practical tips on the host university. So I highly recommend that you also study those. And as mentioned, we can give the contact information of the students who have already been abroad, so you can ask questions directly from them as well. I recommend that you also join any local social media groups that the host university may have, because they will share information through social media as well. And all of the students who are going abroad have already filled in one application through the Mobility Online portal, but all students also need to fill in the application of the host university. These applications can usually be found on the website of the host university. Sometimes they are sent by email from the host university, or the email might come from us at the international office with application instructions, or you might receive it from your faculty level coordinator if you are going for an Erasmus exchange. Most universities use an online application system. Some universities, especially outside Europe, require you to send some attachments, for example, by mail as well. But most universities use an online system, so the application process shouldn't be too complicated. Typically, host universities ask to attach a transcript of records, opintorekisteriote, to the application. And you can get it easily from Sisu, and the link to the instructions on how to print the transcript from Sisu can be found here. And I will publish these slides later, so you can click the link and find the instructions there. If you are going for an Erasmus exchange, your host university may require you to fill in a learning agreement as part of the application process. And the learning agreement is your study plan at the host university. And I will tell you more about the learning agreement during this session later. And please notice the deadlines of the host university so that you won't miss them. Usually the deadlines can be found on the website of the host university. So please make sure that you submit all the application documents on time by the deadline of the host university. And now that you are going for a mobility period abroad, it's important that you set some learning goals for the mobility period. And to help you with this process, the University of Jyväskylä's Education Council has actually set some goals for our students going abroad. If these aren't familiar to you already, I will just go through these goals next. So after completing a mobility period, the student has deepened his or her academic expertise, created networks with other experts in the field, developed language skills, interaction skills, cooperation skills, and ability to work in a multilingual and multicultural environment. They have increased self-confidence and self-knowledge, and their ability to cope with uncertainty and flexibility. They have developed critical thinking skills and problem-solving skills. And after completing a mobility period, the student understands the meaning of various cultural factors and contexts to interaction. And these cultural factors and contexts include language, nationality, gender, age, academic field. The student is conscious of and can analyze the factors affecting the formation and transformation of one's own cultural identity. They understand and respect cultural diversity, and they are interested in global issues and can study them from new perspectives. So these are the sort of learning goals the University of Jyväskylä has set for all of their outgoing exchange students. And now you need to think about your learning goals, and hopefully some of these goals that I just mentioned are the sort of things that you would like to achieve during your exchange. But there might be others that you specifically want to gain during the exchange. But you need to think about the learning goals to maximize the benefits from your exchange, from your mobility period. And when you think about the goals, think about the skills as well that you would like to learn while you are abroad. And the traditional view on skills gained from international experience, the th sort of skills that you would initially think of when you think about the skills that you can gain from a period abroad, they might include skills like language skills, tolerance, cultural knowledge. So these are sort of the skills that you initially think of when you think about a study period abroad. But try to think of the skills through an extended view as well. So these sort of skills might include curiosity, resilience, and productivity, for example, which you might gain during a student exchange. And there are actual studies done on this topic. For example, Demos Helsinki and Simo, or former Simo, now they're called EDUFI, they study the attributes which employers think are significant in recruitment. So when they hire new employees, they search for certain attributes or skills from their employers. And these sort of skills include communication skills, tolerance, cooperation, interest towards new issues, adaptability, networking ability, reliability, self-confidence, problem-solving ability, persistence, and so on. So all sorts of skills that you can actually gain from your mobility period. So this is important to notice that your mobility period will ha enhance your chances of getting a job later after you graduate. So set goals for your mobility period. Recognize the skills you wish to improve. To help you with this process, you can attend, for example, Mobi courses on intercultural communication. And then during the exchange, you need to develop your skills and try to achieve the goals that you have set for yourself. And after the exchange, demonstrate the skills you have gained in your CV. So it's not enough that you mentioned that you have been on exchange, for example, in France in your CV. Explain what sort of skills you have gained during the exchange. Okay, next, moving on to study planning. So each outgoing exchange student need to make a study plan before the exchange. And it's a good idea to discuss your course plan, your course choices with your faculty level coordinator or your program coordinator. The study planning will be done through a learning agreement form. For Erasmus students, this learning agreement will be an online form, which you can fill in through the Mobility Online system. You will receive instructions by email next month on how you can do that. For other programs, the learning agreement will be done as part of your Mobility Online workflow as well, but the learning agreement will not be online. It will be a PDF form for other programs than the Erasmus. And you will also receive instructions by email next month on how to fill in the learning agreement. And your faculty level international coordinator needs to approve your learning agreement first. So you need to send your learning agreement to the faculty level coordinator for approval. For Erasmus students, this will be done electronically, but for the others, you can just send it by email. And then you also need to have your host university approve your learning agreement. So this is a way to make sure that the course choices that you have made are approved by your home faculty and then also by your host faculty. We recommend that you do a similar amount of courses abroad that you would do here in Jyväskylä, so about 30 ECTS credits per semester. That is something that you need to, that is your goal for the exchange period. And of course, that is not always possible in all of the host university, but this is something that you can try to gain. Most of the host universities offer student housing either on campus or outside campus. which you can apply for through the host university. The application might be a part of the application of the host university, or they might have a separate application for you to fill in. If your host university does not have student housing, then you need to apply through the private sector for housing. In this case, you should book temporary accommodation for a week before the semester starts, roughly a week before the semester starts, and search for the apartment in your host university. You need to remember what is included in the rent. For example, if electricity, internet connection, water, gas, for example, are included in the rent, or if you need to pay them separately. And also check the termination conditions as well if you are hiring accommodation from the private sector. If you live in Soihtu apartments, you can temporarily assign your apartment to someone else. And at Koas, if you live in Koas apartments, you can temporarily sublet your apartment. This is an option. Or this is a possibility to rent your apartment for our incoming exchange students as well. You can reach them, for example, to the student from the student union apartment form. So we always have incoming exchange students as well, and they also need apartments for their exchange period here in Jyväskylä. So it's possible that you rent your apartment for them, for example. Here are also a couple of links which you can use to find apartments abroad. Then about the travel grant. So all of our students going abroad through our exchange programs will receive a travel grant for their mobility period. The amount of the travel grant varies depending on the program, the length of stay, and the host country as well. So the amounts vary a bit. You can apply for the travel grant in the Mobility Online system, and you will receive instructions for this as well for the process from us at the International Office next month. And for Nord Plus students, you should apply for the travel grant from your faculty level coordinator. If you are an Erasmus student going to Switzerland, you will receive instructions concerning your scholarship from the host university. Please apply for the scholarship only after your exchange is certain so that we don't have to unnecessarily go back and forth with the payment of the scholarship. So apply for it after your exchange is certain, when you have received the letter of admission, for example, from your host university. And the beginning date of your exchange period will be the day when you need to arrive to your host university. So that can be the recommended arrival date, the first day of orientation, or the first day of a language course if you are taking part in a language course prior to the beginning of your host semester. The end date of your exchange period will be the last day you need to complete studies, for example, the last exam date. And in your travel grant agreement, we will ask for these dates, the beginning date and the end date of your exchange period. So that's why it's good to remember these conditions. And the grant will be paid on the last day of the preceding month before your exchange. So you may need to buy the flight tickets, for example, before you receive this grant. So it's good to start saving up for the flights, for example, or if you can borrow the money from your parents, for example, it's good to notice this, that the grant will be paid on the last day of the preceding month before your exchange will begin. The grant will have no effect on the Finnish study aid, so opintotuki, and it is not tax deductible. The precondition for the grant is that you actually have to be there in your host university, physically present. So you are not eligible for the grant for a virtual exchange conducted from Finland. If your host university has some courses online, but you are nevertheless present in your host university, you are eligible for the grant, but you have to be there physically to get the grant. And the majority of courses are, of course, held face to face nowadays. But if something happens with the pandemic, for example, and courses change to online mode, but you are physically present there in the host university, you are eligible for the travel grant in that case as well. Then moving on to Finnish study aid, opintotuki. When you go abroad, you are eligible to get the Finnish study aid as well. So the study aid for studies abroad is the normal amount, so about 250 euros per month. The housing allowance will be 210 euros, no matter what your rent will be abroad. If you're going for a country in the eastern part of Europe, it might be a little bit less, but for the majority of you, the housing allowance will be 210 euros. The study loan part of the study aid will be 800 euros per month. So that is a lot higher for studies abroad than it is for studies in Finland. And you can apply for the Finnish study aid online on Kela's website. And Kela will receive a confirmation of your exchange dates when you apply for your scholarship in Mobility Online. If you need a certificate of your finances earlier, for example, for your host university application or for the visa application, you can ask for this certificate from us at the international office. And the same certificate can also prove the dates of your exchange, in case Kela asked them earlier. All our outgoing exchange students need to register for attendance at our university, also for the semester that they are studying abroad. So this is important that you need to register your attendance in the Oily Service regularly, even if you are studying abroad. You also need to pay the healthcare fee to Kela for the period that you will be abroad. So that is part of the registration to the university. So you need to also pay that. If you register after the 31st of July, you are required to pay a re-registration fee as well. So please remember to take care of the registration before this date. If you need to pay tuition fees to our university, you also need to pay the tuition fees during the exchange. So this is important to remember. Then, of course, when you go abroad, it's important to brush up your language skills. If you have time, you can do courses at Movi. They offer courses in various languages. They also have an H1 Teach One course that you can do. This is the course where students teach other students their native languages or near native languages. So it's a really, really fun way to learn a new language. You can also have different apps on your phone, which already might be familiar to you. And we actually had a session yesterday where we had two representatives from Mobi, and they shared information about the courses that Mobi offers for outgoing exchange students. So it's a good idea to see that recording as well. And if you are going for an Erasmus exchange, you have the possibility to use an OLS system, which is an online language testing and training system for outgoing Erasmus students. And through this OLS system, you have a possibility to do an online language test before the exchange, and then another one after the exchange as well to see how your language skills have developed during the exchange. But this is optional. You also have a chance to do online courses for if you are an Erasmus student through the OLS system. You will receive instructions about the OLS system by email later on. And we had a really good session given by Lotta Kokkonen, an intercultural communication teacher from Movi, about how to face culture differences and how to get most out of your stay abroad. So I'm not going to go through these cultural differences in depth, because you can just take a look at the recording from yesterday's session and the slides as well. Then about residence permits and visas. If you are a Nordic citizen and you are going to another Nordic country for an exchange, no residence permit or visas are required for your travel, but you just need to bring your passport with you or your identity card when you travel. If you are an EU citizen and you're going to another EU country, a residence permit needs to be obtained in the host country, so after your arrival to another EU country. Usually the host university will advise you on how to get the residence permit in the host country in the beginning of your stay. If you are a non-EU citizen and you are applying or going to an EU country, you can stay up to 360 days in another EU country. A registration in the host country may be required, but you need to find out from your host country if they require you to register there in the host country. So that varies from country to country. Your residence permit in Finland must be valid for the entire exchange period. So if it's not, you need to renew that for the exchange period. If you're going to a country outside the EU, usually a student visa or a residence permit is required from you. And you should apply for the visa or the permit before entering the country through the country's embassy in Finland. And it's important that you apply early enough, as soon as you have received the letter of admission or other documents that you need for the visa or the permit application. It might take a few days to apply for the visa or the permit, or it might take a few weeks. So apply as soon as possible. We have gathered some country-specific visa information on our website, which you can have a look. However, please notice that we don't update these pages regularly. So it's important that you go through the host country's embassies. Instructions on how to apply for the visa or the residence permit. So they will have the correct and updated information on their website. And take into consideration special circumstances caused by the pandemic, there might still be some queues in some embassies. So it might take a little bit longer, even now, to get the permit than before the pandemic. Then about healthcare. If you are an EU citizen in the EU area or Norway, Iceland, or Switzerland, you should have your European health insurance card with you when you travel. You can apply for it from Kela or from the Social Security organization of the country where you are insured. This card will give you public medically necessary care with local prices. But please notice that the local prices may be quite high for some services. If you need to have a surgery, for example, it might be quite, the prices might be quite high even with the local prices. So a complementary insurance is highly recommended, even to those students who are going to the EU area. Or if you're going to another country outside the EU, or if you are another nationality, you should have a private health insurance. I will tell you more about the insurances in the upcoming slides. But then about the vaccinations. We had a session yesterday about the vaccinations on healthcare abroad, so you can also have a look at that. But you can fill in a pre-travel health assessment form in YTHS self-service. They recommend that you fill in this form to 2 to 3 months prior to your departure to see if any vaccinations are needed to your host country. Basic vaccinations are free if you get them through YTHS. So, for example, tetanus, diphtheria, polio, and MMR are free. But for other vaccinations, you should ask for a prescription at YTHS and then buy the vaccinations from a pharmacy then go back to Utahas and they will just give it to you, but you need to pay the vaccination for yourself. If you already don't have the full set of COVID vaccinations, I highly recommend that you get them now. For some countries, they still ask to see the COVID certificate stating that you are vaccinated, or you might need to get the COVID-19 test for a negative result in order to get to the host country. So this is important to remember. Malaria medication may also be needed in some areas if you're going to a more exotic country. If you need a health certificate for your host university, please notice that YTHS makes this only if the exchange is a mandatory part of your degree. So please ask from your nearest healthcare center or from a private clinic for the health certificate if it require if your host university, your host university requires this from you. Then about medications. If you are taking some medication, some sort of long-term medication in Finland, don't stop taking the medication during your mobility period. So buy long-term medication for the entire exchange period and remember to show your prescriptions at customs and also take the customs regulations of the host country into consideration. So they might have some regulations on how much medication you can take with you when you travel to your host country. So find out from the customs how much you can take with you when you travel. Finnish prescriptions are valid in the EU. If you need a prescription in English, you can get that from your doctor, and this is, of course, recommended. Finnish prescription medicine are sold in online pharmacies, but they do not deliver abroad. So this is good to remember. And remember to maintain good hand hygiene during your travel as well. And it's a good idea to take some diarrhea medicine with you when you travel, because sometimes you might get a tourist diarrhea as soon as you go abroad. So take some medicine with you. And then about the insurances. So students who are going abroad for a student exchange are not insured by our university. So you should get a private travel insurance for the entire period of your exchange. If you are going for a traineeship, for an internship abroad, you are insured by our university if the internship is unpaid. But the insurance is only valid for accidents that happen at work during your internship or during your commute from home to work or back. So not during your free time, for example. So I also recommend if you are going to do an internship abroad that you have your private insurance with you. There are different sorts of travel insurances. They can be continuous or trip specific. Usually they are valid for up to 3 months for 90 days. If they are valid for up to 90 days, you need to get some extra days to cover the whole mobility period. The continuous insurance can be more affordable than the trip specific. Also notice that the luggage insurance can also be a part of your home insurance if you have any home insurance. So check what your home insurance says about the insurance for concerning luggage. So please compare local insurance companies, the Finnish companies, see what they who offers the best solution for you. You can also have a look at some of the international insurance companies. For example, the SIP student insurance program is something that you can also consider. But please compare different options. And issues that affect travel insurance price include that if you already have, for example, a home insurance in the same company, they might give you a good deal on the travel insurance as well. The length of your travel will affect the price, the destination country as well. If you're going to the US or to Canada, I'm afraid that usually the insurance is more expensive to these countries just because the medical care in these countries are very, very high in prices. The excess amount and the amount of compensation will affect the price. Also, the activities that you will do during the exchange, for example, different sports may not be included if you enjoy skydiving, for example, or deep water diving, for example, they might not be covered in the regular sort of travel insurance. So please pay attention to the insurance validity. So it needs to be valid for the entire period of your exchange, and you may need to purchase some additional days or months to cover the whole period. And make sure that the insurance also covers treatment for COVID-19. Then moving on to traveling. Let me see the time to see how much we have. Yeah. So wait before making any travel arrangements until your host university has confirmed the exchange and you have confirmation that you can travel to your host country. So wait at least until you have received a letter of admission from your host university before making any travel arrangements. Make sure that your tickets can be changed if necessary, if something happens, and that they will be refunded in case of cancellation. It's a good idea to consult your credit card company as well on the possible refunds they can make in case your travel arrangements change or you need to cancel. The luggage regulations can be seen on the website of the airline company. Usually, you can take a maximum of 20 kilos as luggage. This varies a bit, but usually it's about 20 kilos. It's a good idea to remember that excess luggage can also be sent as travel cargo, especially when coming back home from your host university. You might have some more luggage than you went. So you can also send them as excess or as travel cargo. And when you travel, you always need to carry your passport or your picture ID with you. And also, when you travel, remember to wear a mask if it's required. Some airline companies may still require you to wear a mask, and just keep social distance when you travel whenever possible, and good hand hygiene as well. And then about green travel, even though you are going to travel very soon, we ask you to aim to minimize the effects of travel to the environment. And if possible, choose an environmentally friendly mode of transportation, for example, the bus or the train. I know this is not always possible if you're going to a different continent, for example, but try to find the most environmentally friendly mode of transportation anyway. And if you fly, choose a direct flight, if possible, because that will have low emission compared to the fact that if you need to change the flights more. Also, pack lightly because the more luggage, the more fuel the plane has to consume. So, this is good to remember. If you are going for an Erasmus exchange, you have a chance to get an additional grant of 100 euros if you travel green, and a compensation for up to 4 additional travel days. The precondition here is that the journey to the host university or the return journey from the host university, they will be done by using green travel, or at least half of the outward and return journey will be done by using green travel. So half of the journey altogether needs to be done by using green travel. And the green travel in the Erasmus program means that you would need to use the train, the bus, or shared rides in a car or cycle. So flying or taking the ferry or boat are not considered as green travel in the Erasmus program. And you need to fill in a declaration for green mobility before the exchange. And you need to submit a travel plan for both outward and return trips if you want to get this additional grant from the Erasmus program. But we will send those students going for an Erasmus exchange instructions on how you can get the Green Travel additional grant. Then, if you want, you can get an ISIC card, an International Student Identity card, which will give you some discounts, for example, in some sites or flights or some restaurants, for example. So it's a good idea to have a look at this ISIC card as well. But this ISIC card is not your local student card. So if your host university has a local student card, I recommend that you also get that. But this ISIC card may give you some discounts during the exchange. Then about financial matters, we recommend that you have at least two payment cards for your mobility period. For example, a debit card and an international credit card, if possible. So if you lose one, you at least have the other to do your financial matters. Check the card expiration dates and limits as well. If you are going to the EU, to the Euro area, you can easily pay or make payments through the IBAN and BIC numbers. So you can use online banking to pay as you would do here in Finland if you're going to the Euro area or the SEPA area, actually. For other countries outside the EU, it's a good idea to ask former exchange students if they needed to open a bank account in their host country. So they are a good source of information on this matter. Before you go for your exchange, you need to change your address in the Digital and Population Data Services Agency, former known as Register Office, Maistraatti, and also to the post office. But you can change your address in the same site for both for DVV and for the post office. And then about safety abroad, this is very important. You need to remember that anything can happen anywhere. And we also have a consent to individual liability form, which we will give you as a part of this scholarship application. And in this individual liability form, we ask you to sign it, we ask you to sign this form. And in this form, you will let us know that you know that you are yourself responsible if anything happens during the exchange, and you are yourself responsible to find out about the security situation in your host country, and that you will also have an insurance, your own insurance for the entire mobility period. So this is an important piece of paper that you need to sign for us during the scholarship application process. I recommend that you follow actively the website of the Ministry for Foreign Affairs of Finland or of your home country. They have general security situation on their website of the host country. So this is a very good source of information. You can also have a look at the website of the Finnish Institute for Health and Welfare about travel and the coronavirus pandemic. The pandemic is still going on. It doesn't affect travel that much anymore, luckily, but they still have some information on the website of THL. So that is something you can also have a look. Then the website of the Ministry for Foreign Affairs of the host country may have some good information for you, and the website of CVT Travel Management as well. They talk about entry requirements during the pandemic. So that is something you can also have a look. So find out the host countries and possible transit countries, entry or possible quarantine requirements. Usually countries do not have any quarantine requirements anymore. but it's something that you need to find out yourself. Find out beforehand what kind of a country and city you are headed for, what sort of local culture there will be, what sort of customs, habits, norms about clothing, for example. So find out as much as you can about the host country's culture. It's a good idea to put ICE in case of emergency in front of your family member's name in your phone. So if something happens, if you have an accident, for example, the medical care personnel will know that this is your in case of emergency person who to contact if something happens to you. The emergency number in EU is 112, but find out what the emergency number is in your host country and save it to your phone. If something happens while you are abroad, follow the instructions of local authorities. That is the first piece of information that you need to remember. So follow the instructions of local authorities. If you need help, you can get that from the Finnish embassy or from the embassy of your home country. The Ministry for Foreign Affairs of Finland, they also have an online console will help, which helps in Facebook. This is in Finnish, I'm afraid, but nevertheless, if you speak Finnish, they have an online console as well in Facebook. So before you go, have a look at the travel advice on the website of the Ministry for Foreign Affairs of Finland. They have very good information about the security situation in your host country. In English, you can have a look at some of the other countries' foreign affairs ministries website. For example, the UK, they have information in English as well. Before you go on your exchange, you need to make a travel notification on the website of the Ministry for Foreign Affairs of Finland. This is required for all students who are going abroad. So if something happens during the exchange, if there's a natural disaster, for example, if there's an earthquake, for example, the Foreign Affairs of Finland Ministry will know where you are, and they will contact you to make sure that you are okay. You can also check from your home country's Ministry for Foreign Affairs if you are not a Finnish student to see if they have a similar system there. So generally, it is safe to go abroad, but you just need to be aware that anything can happen anywhere. Even now, the COVID pandemic might have some effects when you travel. As mentioned, some countries may still require that you have the vaccination certificate that you have been vaccinated for COVID, or they may require you to do a COVID-19 test when you enter the country. There might be pocket thieves. When you travel, the traffic might be very different than you are used to here in Jyväskylä. It's not a good idea to give your contact information to strangers, as you probably already know. Don't do drugs. Don't do drugs here. Especially don't do them abroad. The law may be very strict on drugs in some countries. It's not a good idea to walk alone after dark. There might be demonstrations in some parts of the world every now and then, so try to avoid those. And natural disasters, such as hurricanes, floods, earthquakes, are common in some parts of the world. So if something like that happens, you need to follow the instructions of the local authorities. There are different websites which you can use to find out more information about the security situation in your host country, besides the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of Finland. For example, this Global Peace Index is something you can have a look as well. So, as a recap, before you travel, remember to find out the travel advice of your host country, make the travel notification. Make sure you have the travel insurance for the entire mobility period. Make sure that your travel documents are valid so that you have a valid passport and your visa or residence permit is also valid if it's required for your host country. And during the pandemic, follow actively and obey the instructions of the authorities concerning the pandemic. Then to a more happier slide. So when you go abroad, you can also share your experiences with others, students of this university. You can make posts to our Instagram account, the JYU Study Abroad account, during your exchange. And if you make enough posts, you can actually compensate writing the travel report after your exchange by making posts to our Instagram account. If you're interested, you can send us an email so we can send you more instructions on how you can do that. You can also keep a blog during the exchange, so let us know the address through the Mobility Online system if you're keeping a blog during your exchange. And that will also compensate writing the travel report after the exchange. And in the Instagram posts or the blog, you should tell about your host university, the country, the city, the studies, how they may differ from studies at our university, about the accommodation, how you found the accommodation, about your free time, what you like to do during your free time during the exchange, and so on. So this is a possibility. So do send us an email if you're interested in this sort of option. Then moving on to the during the exchange part. When you arrive to your host university, you will need to register at the local international office or the student affairs office. So this is one of the first things you need to do when you arrive to your host university. The majority of host universities offer an orientation in the beginning of the semester for incoming exchange students. So it is highly recommended to take part in the orientation program because a lot of the practical matters that you need to take care of in the beginning of your exchange are taken care of during the orientation. And of course, you will also meet the other exchange students during the orientation program. If required, you should acquire a residence permit from the local authorities in the beginning of your exchange if you're going to an EU country. Usually, the host university will give you advice on where you need to go and how you can do this, most likely during the orientation program. And then also during the exchange, you should take into account your carbon footprint. So try to consume less and recycle whenever possible, buy used items, borrow and rent. Also reduce water consumption, particularly of warm water. Keep devices turned off when not in use. And if you're going to a country where there is a cold climate, dress warmly and keep room temperature moderate. If you're going to a warm climate, cover windows with curtains, ventilate at night, and keep windows closed during the day. Also think about how much you travel during the exchange and with which mode of transportation. So it's a good idea to travel in the nearby areas where you can take the bus, train, or cycle. And also, if you use these modes of transportation, you can actually see quite a lot more than if you would fly to a nearby country, for example. So it's a good adventure as well to travel by train compared to flying. Then about mobile phones during your exchange. Change your PIN code right now if you haven't changed it in a while. Find out what sort of data protection you have on your phone if it needs to be updated, for example. Find out what kind of mobile phone system works in your host country, if you need a GSM or a CDMA mobile phone. So that is something to find out. Set a maximum number of euros for data transfer as well. If you're going to an EU country, there are usually no roaming fees. But if you're going to a country outside the EU, you need to find out what sort of roaming fees you will have from your operator. And tips on cheap mobile operators can be gained from former exchange students, and you can get their contact information through our office if you want to have a contact with them. From the local students as well, through discussion forums, different sorts of ways to find out what sort of mobile operators are the most affordable in your host university or host country. And it's a good idea to use Wi-Fi wherever possible. You should also stay in touch with folks at home when you go abroad. So when you go abroad, you will meet new people. You will have a lot of things to do every day, but try to stay in touch with your family and friends as well back home, because they will miss you when you are not there. So stay in touch with them as well during the exchange. A lot of times what happens when you go abroad is that you will make friends with the other exchange students, which is perfectly okay because you are all in the same situation and you will probably have a lot of common events and common courses as well. But it's a good idea to try to make friends outside the exchange student circles as well, to get to know the local culture, for example, a little better. So take part in local clubs or hobbies in the host university, in the host country. Follow the local topics in the host country by reading, for example, online news sites. So you have something to talk about with the local students. Take part in the activities of local student organizations. And for example, the Erasmus Student Network, they usually have a lot of activities going on in various countries and cities in Europe. So take part in different student activities. You can also meet the local students through the activities. Then at the end of your stay, if you are going for an Erasmus exchange, you need to get this confirmation of stay signed at the end of your stay. So if you're going for an Erasmus exchange, you need to have this letter of confirmation form signed at the host university at the end of your stay. If you're going for an Erasmus internship, you have a similar sort of form, but it's just called the work placement confirmation. So this form will have the specific dates, the actual dates of your exchange period. So you need to sign this form and return this form to us through the mobility online system after your exchange. So at the end of your stay, ask for a signature from your host university. So that needs to be done before you come back to Jyväskylä. And then once you are in Jyväskylä, you can add this form to the mobility online workflow. When you are abroad, you are an ambassador of the University of Jyväskylä. So we hope that you are able to share some facts about our university for the local students. Our exchanges are they are supposed to be balanced so that we will also receive students from our host universities to Jyväskylä. So hopefully you are able to promote our university while you are abroad. We have some brochures, some online brochures on our website. There are some videos about the university, also some PowerPoint presentations which you can use if you have an opportunity to give a presentation about our university. It's a good idea to learn some basic facts about the university as well, because most likely the local students or the other exchange students will ask some things about our university from you. For example, that we have six faculties, we have a lot of courses in English, and we also have excellent student services for the incoming international students. So learn a few facts about our university as well. If you are a writer, if you're interested in writing, you can write about your study abroad experience to Unity, which is our university's online stakeholder magazine. The story that you would write should have a broader point of view than just the exchange itself. But if you're interested, you can contact the communications department of the university. If during the exchange, during your mobility period, you will run into overwhelming difficulties, do not return to Finland immediately, unless your home university recommends it. Of course, there might be some acute serious illness cases or some crises where, of course, you would need to return to Finland. But otherwise, contact us at the international office first, and also your host university, and seek guidance. There might be, we can mo most likely try to help you and solve the issues that you are facing. So do not return to Finland immediately, but ask us before doing any drastic solutions. Remember that the scholarship also that you will receive for the exchange is tied to the length of your exchange period. So if there are any changes in the mobility period, you should notify us at the international office and also your faculty level coordinator if you're going for an Erasmus exchange. And if you're eligible for the Finnish study aid, opintotuki, you should also notify Kela that there has been a change in the mobility period. The minimum length of an exchange is 2 to 3 months, depending on the exchange program. In the Erasmus, it's 2 months. In practice, 2 to 3 month exchanges are not possible. Usually, the minimum length for the exchange is 4 to 5 months, so the length of the semester in your host university, because the courses will last the whole semester. And remember, if something happens, because a lot of things can happen, if you should need to cancel the exchange, that will not affect your future exchange applications negatively. But hopefully, everything will go well with your exchange. And remember during the exchange to keep the European Health Insurance card and your insurance card or insurance information with you at all times. And when you get to the host destination, find out where you can get healthcare and whom you can contact in case you need help. Read your emails regularly, also during the exchange, not just before the exchange, and keep us at the international office and at your host university informed of any changes in your mobility period. Also follow reliable medias and social media and informal announcements during the exchange. Then a few words about things you need to do after the exchange. All students who have been abroad through our exchange programs need to write a travel report after the exchange. If you have written a blog during the exchange or posted on our Instagram account, you don't need to write the travel report, but for the others, you will need to write the travel report. And this can be done in the mobility online system. So you also need to upload the transcript from the host university to the Mobility Online after the exchange. It might take a month or two for the host university to send you the transcript after the exchange has ended. You will also have a possibility to give feedback to us at the international office on the whole exchange process. If you have been on Erasmus exchange, you will also need to submit a final learning agreement through the mobility online system. This is also the same for Nord Plus and Nord Plus students. If you have been on an Erasmus exchange, you also need to submit the letter of confirmation or the work placement confirmation if you had done an internship abroad. Erasmus students will also need to do an EU survey. This is a survey by the EU Commission, and you will receive this by email. If you want, you can also do the OLS test second part after the exchange, but that's optional. And then a very important fact is that the courses and credits that you do abroad, they will not automatically be transferred to your degree here in our university. So you need to apply for the credit transfer after the exchange. And you can do that in Sisu. You can apply for the credit transfer for your major studies or for your minor studies. You can also do a new minor study program for the courses that you have completed abroad. The minimum number of credits that you would need to do for this new minor study program is 15 to 25 credits, and this varies depending on your home faculty. And for more instructions on how to get the credit transfer, you can contact your international coordinator at your home faculty. For language study, you can also get credits. You can apply for them through Mobi. If you have done language courses, you can get compensation for those or credit transfer. And you can also get credits from Mobi just for the fact that you have done courses in a foreign language abroad. So you can get a maximum of 8 credits if you have taken courses in your own field in the language of the host country. For example, if you have been in France and you have done business courses in French, you can get a maximum of 8 credits from Mobi. If you have studied courses in English, you can get a maximum of 4 credits. So remember to apply for the language study credits as well. We will organize a re-entry orientation as well. This is organized twice a year, and this is a possibility for you to share your study abroad experiences with other exchange students after the exchange. We will also remind you about the practical matters you need to take care of after the exchange in this re-entry orientation. But it's very good opportunity for you to share your experiences with other students who are in a similar situation as you are after the exchange. We will send you invitation to this event later by email. If you have any questions later on, you are welcome to contact us at the international office. And if you're going for an Erasmus exchange, you can also contact your international coordinator at your faculty. Or if you have questions about the courses that you wish to do abroad, it's a good idea to discuss these with the faculty level coordinator in your home faculty. Yeah, but that is all I wanted to say, except that we hope that you will have a rewarding exchange period. Now we have time if our participant has any questions. We can answer them. But otherwise, I will stop sharing and turn off the recording now. So thank you for taking part and enjoy your upcoming mobility period.
It does. Bye-bye.